The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany is from Isaiah chapter 58. Why have we fasted, and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed or to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth into the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith may not rest upon the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes you read something that is so full of grace and truth that humility is the only possible immediate response. Twice in roughly the past year, such a letter has come from regular pastors in China. The first one was a pastor who was preparing himself for persecution, and also in doing so was preparing his congregation. He did disappear, which is part of the reason that his letter was released. When I read that letter, my immediate thought was simply that these men fear God. There's a seriousness and depth to their contemplations, which yet remain very simple. None of our frivolous camp, nor our complexity, which often just hides a lack of faith. this second letter brought up that same response. If you want to know what a city on a hill looks like, it's this. So I'm just going to read this letter from a Wuhan pastor. It reminds me a little of Luther's notes on "May a Christian Flee the Plague," but it's from today, and we need to hear it. Brothers and sisters, peace be upon you. During these past days, the Wuhan pneumonia has been at the center of my thoughts and life. I am always watching the latest news and always thinking about how our family and church should face this. As for family, I have gathered masks and foodstuffs and have ventured out of doors as little as possible. While when venturing out in public, I have worn a mask, but for the rest, I have placed it in the Lord's hands. As for the church, the safety of the congregation, a faithful witness, the possibility that members could contract the illness, have all become areas of great struggle. It is readily apparent that we are facing a test of our faith. The situation is so critical, yet we are trusting in the Lord's promises that His thoughts towards us are of peace and not of evil, and that He allows for a time of testing, not to destroy us, but to establish us. Therefore, Christians are not only to suffer with the people of this city, but we have a responsibility to pray for those in the city who are fearful and to bring to them the peace of Christ. First, we are to seek the peace of Christ to reign in their hearts. Christ has already given us this peace. But His peace is not to remove us from disaster and death, but rather to have peace in the midst of disaster and death. Because Christ has already overcome these things. Otherwise, we have not believed in the gospel of peace, and with the world, would be terrified of pestilence and lose hope in the face of death. Why do only Christians have this peace? Because of sin, humans deserve the trials and tribulations that come about them. Jehovah says, "The wicked have no peace." We were all sinners, but Christ, because of faith, took our penalty and gave us His peace. Therefore, Paul says, "Who can bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies." Christians may, with the world, face the same tribulations, but such tribulations are no longer punishment, but a new opportunity to grow nearer to the Almighty, to purify our souls, and an opportunity to proclaim the gospel. In other words, when disaster strikes, it is but a form of God's love. And as Paul firmly believed, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Spoken for today, Wuhan's pestilence cannot separate us from the love of Christ. This love is in our Lord Jesus Christ. These words are so comforting for us. We have already become one body with Christ. We have a part in his sufferings, and we all have a part in his glory. All of Christ's is ours, and our all is Christ's. Therefore, Christ is with us as we face the pestilence in the city. The pestilence cannot harm us. If we die in this pestilence, it is an opportunity to witness to Christ, and even more, to enter into his glory. Thus, my brothers and sisters, I encourage you to be strong in Christ's love. If we more deeply experience death in this pestilence, understanding the gospel, we may more deeply experience Christ's love and grow ever nearer to God. Our Lord Jesus, through faith, experienced an incomparable suffering of death. Yet God raised him from the dead and sat him at his right hand. If in reading these truths you still have no peace, I encourage you to diligently read the above-cited scripture and call on the Lord to give you insight until the peace of Christ reigns in your hearts. You must know that this is not just an observable disaster, but even more, it is a spiritual struggle. You should first wage a battle for your heart, and secondarily, a battle for the soul of the city. We earnestly hope that you would know that not a sparrow falls without the will of the Father. With so many souls facing pestilence, can it be outside of God's will? All that we are experiencing, is it not like Abraham facing Sodom and Jonah facing Nineveh? If God, because of a righteous man, withheld judgment on Sodom, or because of 120,000 who didn't know their left hand from their right, withheld destruction, what of the city of Wuhan, in which we live? We are clearly the righteous in this city. Far more than a single righteous person, there are thousands and thousands of us. Yet may we, like Lot, be grieved over all those in this city. And like Abraham, who earnestly prayed for Sodom, you see Jonah with difficulty proclaimed the gospel to Nineveh. And Nineveh repented and was saved. We are this city's Abraham and Jonah. We must pray for God's mercy upon this city and bring peace upon this city through prayers and testimony. I believe this is the command of God calling those of us living in Wuhan. We are to seek peace for the city. Seek peace for those who are afflicted with this illness. Seek peace for the medical personnel struggling on the front lines. Seek peace for every government official at every level. And seek peace for all the people of Wuhan. And we can, through our online networks, guide and comfort our friends and loved ones with the gospel, reminding them that our lives are not in our own hands, and to entrust their lives to God, who is faithful and true. The past few days, I have received many inquiries from foreign pastors. They and the whole church are concerned for the city, even more for us, and confronting this epidemic, seek to serve the city with us. Thus, I especially ask them to turn their eyes upon Jesus and do not be concerned with my welfare, nor be agitated or fearful, but pray in the name of Jesus. Good-hearted people, through their actions serving this city, especially the medical personnel who are risking their own lives, if they can take on such worldly responsibilities, how can we not more readily take on spiritual responsibilities? If you do not feel a responsibility to pray, ask the Lord for a loving soul, an earnest, prayerful heart. If you are not crying, ask the Lord for tears, because we surely know that only through the hope of the Lord's mercy will this city be saved. A Wuhan pastor, January 23rd, 2020. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. As the litany would ask, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and rebellion, good Lord, deliver us. Amen.